Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, October 7, 2001 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 7, Let's Look Black in the Past Part 1. Your host will be out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka and Banna Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight. Around us, come around, this truth we're here to spread. For those who've made their come up on the backs of native people, your time on earth is now up, you must now pay for your evil. We know you're simple-minded, might have fell for your own lies. Well, watch as our foes flex our minds, you'll see we're on the rise. The knowledge that we swing for you, we kick it off the dome. The wicked are destroyed by truth, but truth makes our folks strong. Our elders taught these truths to us, taught us to make them plain. This devil's time on earth is up, it's time we break our chains. The heartless ones have had their time, it's time for them to go. A strong fist raised up for the fight, the Human Rights Patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, right. Those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. Now think on all the things we heard in here and all the things we've seen.
Was wrong to keep us filled with fear, to bank some food, some green.
They stripped us of our language, trying to hide from us our roots.
Taught our life would be in danger if we dared to search for truth.
He told our folks that down was up and said that it was out.
To keep our folks from rising up, he took lives without doubt.
We know our folks had been slaves, yeah, before the Europeans.
Those devils came about those caves and showed that they were heathen.
They took their evil, organized it, called it their religion.
These truths today can't be denied. They are fact, no, not fiction.
Their evil hit a brand new low when came this crook called Sam.
A place where Satan dare not go when Sam got to this land.
It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. Like it said, that said in England, Sam here also said our seed
was his to slave forever, yet in perpetuity.
Then in England, 1772, their court did hear a case.
They ruled no one could pass a law to slave the human race.
'Cause all law must respect the law brung by our great creator.
But Sam has say earth never saw, he says his law is greater.
At will he's worked his wicked hand like Satan with the grin.
He killed the natives, stole this land, and set up shop to work his sin.
He says he knows a greater law, he screams that to the king.
He told Sir George, you can't write laws that won't let freedom ring.
We know you think you set us free with his emancipation.
But here's another technicality, it don't mean liberation.
It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. If you check our people's status up in this land, it is clear
our folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt.
He knows his lies can't help him, troops our weapon will collect.
We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are owed.
'Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in soul.
See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves.
His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they took
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,492 night of broadcasting. Welcoming you all to www.pirateradioatabout.com for the seventh edition of the Human Rights Patrol. Quick shout out to Brother Michael Hibbett and the Warriors out at BVHP 103.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California. Shout out to Brother Lavelle Johnson at criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio. And a shout out to Brother Inko Yahuru, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, 94.3 FM. All members of the Human Rights Radio Network. This program is being brung your way by www.pirateradioatabout.com, and you take it down as you want. You know, what we want to do in this installment of the Human Rights Patrol is, you know, African people, I know if you're like me, one of the biggest problems to me to trying to move in a more positive direction was thinking that, you know, African people ain't never done nothing in the world. And when you check around, you might hear about somebody, you know, like, you know, girl C.J. Walker, she brung the straightening comb. Okay, why? You know why they told you that. They trying to, well, you can use it. It's okay. Go ahead, girl. It ain't gonna hurt. Black lady made that. And then you trying to make yourself get some hair that you ain't supposed to have with that thing, see? So we need to go back and see. You know, basically, the story of us coming out of the, you know, jungles with bones in our noses is made possible by our absolute lack of knowledge of what we've been capable of. This program comes courtesy of the internet, and so, you know, a lot of you got access to it. You need to, like, go to your search box on your internet and type in the word black inventors. Now, don't push print, because you probably ain't got enough ink or enough paper to print all the things that's going to come up. But it would definitely change one's opinion of one's possibilities if one knows that they come from folks who's always been capable of doing things more than hewers of woods and drawer of water, you know, like they try to make us out to be. Well, they didn't bring us out the dang on jungle to build no cities, because it would have took too dang on long. So in this installment of the Human Rights Patrol, we're going to go look black into the past and draw some strength from it. The first thing that really hit me that black folks could do some things was, I read Seize the Times, man, Story of the Black Panther Party and Huey P. Newton by Bobby Seals. I never heard no black people ever in my life talk like that. And it blew my mind. Well, you know, what brung those brothers and sisters that were ultimately the Black Panther Party for self-defense was a long tradition of African people that was not going to tolerate the circumstances in this land, was not going to tolerate captivity. And it's so easy for you to believe that, you know, Jonah, you know, was right to want to stay inside of the whale. But, you know, hey, I ain't gonna argue with you. But let's take a look black into the past. Got this here particular piece of information we're going to use for the program from Warrior Inko Yahuru out of Human Rights Radio, the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. And up and down the radio network, folks have heard this kind of programming on a regular basis, especially here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, where we've been kicking for 4,492 nights. So on the internet program we're sharing with all of you, we'd like to try to do some things in the earlier editions of the Human Rights Patrol so that when we come to the conversation to talk, that we can talk from a position where we all got a basic knowledge of things that are, as opposed to how we were taught things were. Okay, so let's deal with the black folks in the West in this country here. Because first you got to see what we did here, then you can see, then we'll go further black home. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Freedom all over the land. The free states had emerged triumphant over the slave states. Congress passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. After their ratification by the states, there was to be no more slavery in this land. Freedom, the former slave, black, white, or red, was guaranteed all of the rights, privileges, and duties of full citizenship. The post-war Congress favored the growth of industry rather than the protection of agriculture. So, while the Homestead Act encouraged settlement in the West, it also encouraged the spread of railroads. The homesteaders on the western frontier needed faster transportation than the horse and wagon to meet the markets back east. Applications for patents on new inventions began to pour into the United States Patent Office. And because of the amendments protecting the rights of blacks, It was now possible for blacks to receive patents for their own inventions. George Murray, a self-educated former slave and inventor, was elected to Congress in 1892. And in August of 1894, he addressed his colleagues in Congress.
There are still traducers and slanderers of our race who claim that we are not equal to others because we have failed to produce inventors. I hold in my hand a statement prepared by one of the assistants in the patent office. This statement shows that colored men have taken out patents upon almost everything, from a cooking stove to a locomotive.
Congressman Murray's modesty prevented him from adding that he held 8 of those patents himself. An inventor who helped to speed the arrival of the age of electricity was born into a free black Boston family in 1848. Louis Howard Latimer. After serving in the Navy during the Civil War, he returned to Boston, where he learned drafting and electrical engineering. His skill brought him to the attention of Alexander Graham Bell. Bell was later to use Latimer's services when he applied for patents for the telephone. Mr. Latimer later went to work for Thomas Edison, and many times proved his value to the Edison Company. He was a member of the Edison Pioneers, the group of men who worked with Edison prior to 1885. When Latimer died in 1928, the Edison Pioneers released this statement.
He was of the colored race, the only one in our organization, and was one of those to respond to the initial call that led to the formation of the Edison Pioneers.
In 1890, Latimer wrote a book in which he explained in layman's terms how the electric light worked and predicted its growing usefulness. In lawsuits involving the Edison Company, he was often the star witness, for not only was he a co-inventor of many of Edison's devices, he was usually the one who drew up the original plans. One of Latimer's opponents on the witness stand was Granville T. Woods, a formidable adversary. His reputation as an inventor of electrical machines was considered greater than Bell's or Edison's. One of the periodicals of the day, the American Catholic Tribune, proclaimed,
"Granville Woods is the greatest electrician in the world."
A few years later, in 1895, Cosmopolitan magazine published an article about him.
"Mr. Woods has taken out some 35 patents in various countries and has many still pending. He is the inventor of a telephone which he sold to the Bell Telephone Company and of a system of telegraphing for moving railway trains, which was successfully tried on the New Rochelle branch of the New Haven Road in 1885. 3 years ago, an electric railway system of his invention was operated at Coney Island, New York. The most remarkable invention of Mr. Woods is for the regulation of electric motors."
Granville Woods also invented the automatic air brake for railroad trains, making rail transportation a much safer way to travel. And after he won 2 patent infringement cases against the Edison Company, Thomas Edison offered him a job. But unlike Latimer, Woods preferred to be his own boss. There was, of course, the real McCoy. It's not often that a man's name is taken into the language, and even more rare for the name to be that of a black man. But Elijah McCoy, through his inventive genius, has made his name a part of everyday conversation. McCoy was sent to Scotland to study mechanical engineering by his parents, who were runaway slaves. Before his death, he had received patents for almost 80 inventions. The most famous of McCoy's inventions was a lubricating cup which made it possible to oil machinery while it was still running. No longer did an engineer have to stop his locomotive, get out, and oil the bearings, or a foreman in a factory have to shut down his machines while an oiler went about squirting oil on moving parts. With McCoy's lubricating cup, the locomotive and the factory could keep on operating and be lubricated at the same time. McCoy's lubricating cup was so successful that many imitations were made. However, none of these did the job as well as the original. No wonder workers as well as factory owners were insisting that their machines be equipped with the real McCoy. Another device which affects almost all Americans as well as millions of people in other countries is the automatic shoe machine. This machine combined so many steps that it almost made an entire shoe in one operation. Its inventor was a young black named Jan Matsalega. Like many inventors, white or black, Matsalega had no idea what his invention was worth, and he sold it for a tiny fraction of its potential value. The machine became the basis of the phenomenal growth that made the United Shoe Company which bought the patents, into a multi-million dollar corporation. Matsalega, unhappily, died a poor man, but his invention made Lynn, Massachusetts, the shoe capital of the world. Andrew J. Beard was a more astute businessman than Jan Matsalega. Beard invented an automatic coupling device for railroad cars that not only saved time, but saved lives as well. Formerly, railroad workers had had to stand between cars and drop a pin in place to couple the cars together. This was very dangerous, and often men had their limbs broken or crushed, and sometimes were crushed to death. Beard's invention eliminated all of that, and Beard, aware of the great value of his device, asked for and received $50,000 from railroad car manufacturers for his patent. July 25th, 1916, a day to remember.
Stop there for a minute. Now, does that sound like some savages up out the jungle? I mean, you know what I'm saying? See, we was not brung here because we knew how to plant crops. Of course we knew how to plant crops. We're a people of the earth. Of course we knew that. Our people were brung here because of the diverse skills that our people had. Building, inventing, and that's why we're still here. There's no trip. We've been airing this particular edition of the Human Rights Patrol so that, you know, as we have conversations with a wider audience now, that everybody that's in the conversation has a level of knowledge about the circumstances that we're talking about for real. If you think that our folks were totally lacking of skills and stuff like that, and, you know, so, you know, our circumstances in this country has been a straight come up for us, of course you would feel like, well, they're not grateful for anything we've done, but you got to comprehend we ain't never been lacking for nothing. The only thing we've been lacking is an opportunity to keep the benefits of our labor. We've been dang on good about it all, but we ain't never been allowed to keep the benefits of our skills and our talents and our work. And everybody, and there's nobody that denies it. And, you know, we're going to write that. Oh, right. We're going to get back to this here particular program, a little bit more about some of the things that African people have done up in this land. Again, I didn't know none of this stuff, man. And coming up as a child, it was certain that we would have to, like, betray what it was that others said we were supposed to be in order to be what we were supposed to be because we didn't know nothing. Let's listen to a little bit more for this edition.
A band of men burrowing toward shore in an unfinished waterworks tunnel beneath Lake Erie plunged shovels through soft clay into a gas pocket, setting off an explosion.
Something wrong in the tunnel.
Come on, boys. We've got to go down for them.
8 hours of attempts to rescue the trapped men failed until...
Somebody get Garrett Morgan. Somebody, quickly.
Who is that again?
Garrett Morgan, the black inventor. Quick.
A telephone call was put through to Mr. Morgan.
Hello, Garrett Morgan. For God's sake, bring some gas vessels from down to Front Street Pier. There'll be a truck waiting for you.
He and his brother Frank rushed to the scene.
I put on a mask and went down in the crib. There was a door into the tunnel, but I couldn't get it open. The door had a glass in it, so I smashed the glass, and I could hear the gas and compressed air whistle out. I pulled out one man and took him up to the top of the shaft. Then Frank and a few others went down with me, and we pulled out five more men. But then the people from the Bureau of Mines came in, and they wouldn't let me go down anymore, so I didn't.
Mayor Harry L. Davis of Cleveland told Morgan,
"The city will take care of you for the rest of your days."
I never got from the city so much as a letter thanking me. Ever since the disaster, my health has been bad. I must have got some poison in my system. At night, I feel though I'm smothering. I can't sleep. I seem to hear those voices and see bodies heaped up in front of me. 22 men died there that night, and that includes two of the men I pulled out. When I shut my eyes, I could still see the men curled up in that death chamber.
A year later, when the United States entered World War I, Morgan's gas mask was to save thousands of American and Allied doughboys from enemy gas attacks. After the war, Garrett Morgan turned his attention to the automobile, which was rapidly becoming the preferred means of personal transportation. In 1923, he patented the traffic light, a device in use all over the world today. No list would begin to be complete without the mention of Hiram S. Thomas and Augustus Jackson. Thomas, the Saratoga chef, invented potato chips, and Jackson, a Philadelphia confectioner, gained fame as the man who invented ice cream in 1832. Now, these are but a few of the contributions of black inventors. A complete listing of black inventions would be very difficult to compile because many black inventors conceal their race. They had discovered that racial prejudice all too often caused whites to deny themselves the benefits of a new device.
So, you know, there is no real list that you could put together of the things that black people have done in this country on what they call the invention thing. But you know dang on well, it's way larger than the list that you can find. And all you got to do, since you're doing this program off the internet, you can just, you know, if your search box type in, you know, black inventors. And you will watch, man. It will trip you out. Well, this kind of knowledge is the kind of knowledge that you need to kind of like set forth on fulfilling your purpose in life. Our elder warrior teacher, Brother Marcus Garvey, said, a people without knowledge of themselves is like a tree without roots. And one of the most wicked crimes that was ever perpetrated on our people was the crime of self-hate, when we was made to hate ourselves from being made to believe that we wasn't capable of doing nothing anyway. Well, we're going to, already across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the world, our people are proven, you know, by the simple sharing of information that was the biggest lie that was ever told. This humble effort here for this edition of the Human Rights Patrol is to share with you a little bit of it. In the next installment, we'll go further probably with this here whole conversation about black in the past, and then we hopefully take you black to the continent, because you need to know, you know, like the Songhai Empire, it was still up, you know, 1492, and you could have dropped this country off in there and had room for some more countries if you chose to. So, you know, there's the decline of Africa was directly related to the theft of African people that was able to maintain Africa. You know what I'm saying? You can't get around that. All right? All right. This is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation. We call it the Human Rights Patrol. It's volume number 7. That's right. Volume number 7, courtesy of www.pirateradio@about.com. If you want this program, all you got to do is go up there, www.pirateradio@about.com, and you can, that's right, you can have for yourself the Human Rights Patrol. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're going to get out of here for this particular mission. Shout out to the listeners over the Human Rights Radio Network who hear this program in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. Again, you're listening to the People's Choice. We're in our 4,492nd night of broadcasting. There is no question about it. Folks that do know, people choose to listen to Human Rights Radio.
We are African people.
We are.